السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وأفضل الصلاة وتم التسليم على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. الحمد لله. What we're going to look at today is the honor and ethics of education and learning in Islam. And the point that we want to try to reflect on is that all of us know about the tremendous virtue of knowledge in our religion. And yet, we find that as individuals and as communities, we are far from that knowledge in any definition of that knowledge. So what is it that keeps us from acquiring that knowledge ourselves? And what keeps us from being transformed by that knowledge? And what keeps us as a community far from embodying the perfections of knowledge that Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam have called us to? Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told us in the Quran about the tremendousness of knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, for example, in the 58th surah of the Quran, in verse 11, in verses that all of us surely know, that يَرْفَعِ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا مِنْكُمْ وَالَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْعِلْمَ دَرَجَاتٍ, that Allah raises those of belief and those who have been granted knowledge manifold degrees. Allah raises those who believe and those who have been granted knowledge manifold degrees. And the word used in Arabic is darajat. And Ibn Abbas, the great sahabi, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was an ocean of understanding of the Quran. He explained that these degrees are not little increases, like it's not the difference between 70 and 75. Rather, it's whole stations, it's whole stations of rank and honor. So there's no point of comparison between a person who knows and a person who doesn't. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it even more emphatically when He tells us about the tremendous transformative impact of knowledge, telling us that إِنَّمَا يَخْشَى اللَّهَ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ الْعُلَمَاءِ, that only the people of knowledge from amongst the servants of Allah indeed have khashya, have awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that the only ones from amongst Allah's servants who have awe of Allah are those of knowledge. But then what is this knowledge that is so praiseworthy, that is so transformative? This verse, of course, points us in that direction, that the knowledge in itself that is praised in our religion is knowledge that increases you in a sense of awe of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that increases you in a sense of reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is knowledge that draws you closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But then, does that mean that the only knowledge that is praiseworthy in Islam, that has been praised, is religious knowledge? No, that is not the case. Knowledge, what do we understand it to be? Imam Shatibi and other great scholars of Islam explain that knowledge is a means. Knowledge is a means. And the virtue of knowledge is insofar as this knowledge is a means of attaining unto the good. Insofar as the knowledge is a means of attaining unto the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in that regard, we have two types of knowledge. There's some knowledge that is intrinsically praiseworthy. There's some knowledge that is intrinsically praiseworthy. The acquisition of this knowledge is itself an act of drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then there's some knowledge that is praiseworthy because of what it is a means to. And this second type of knowledge is not only religious knowledge. It's not only religious knowledge. And we'll see with Dr. Abdul Hayy an example, right, of worldly knowledge that is a means of seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of growing in our sense of awe and magnification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have knowledge that is in itself praiseworthy and in itself tremendous. And this is not just any kind of religious knowledge, because from religious knowledge, for example, is the fact that there was a certain number of Sahaba at Badr, right? And that at Uhud, there was a larger number of Sahaba. But knowing this factoid, does that increase you in your Iman? No, it does not, right? And very often when we approach religious knowledge, what we approach it as is as a collection of factoids, as a bunch of information. Not as ilm, but rather as ma'lumat. Not as knowledge, but rather as points of information. And that has no transformative effect on its own. So when we look at the life of the Prophet ﷺ, for example, we don't approach it as this transformative narrative. Rather, we look at it as the way we would look at someone's resume, right? That the Prophet ﷺ was born in such and such year. And then this happened, then this happened, then this happened, then this happened. And he went from job to job and function to function. And he moved from one city to another and then he returned and so on. And that's all we know about the Prophet ﷺ. And is this what is transformative about the life of the Prophet ﷺ? No. Right? There's something beyond that. And this is just one example. Similarly, when we approach how we worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we approach it very often as a series of actions, do's and don'ts. And actually you can find books like that in our Islamic bookstores. The do's and don'ts of Islam. Right? So Islam is a bunch of lists. Do these 10 things and don't do these 10 things and you're safe. Right? And actually, if you go to some halal meat stores, you'll find whole lists of sunnahs for the 24 hours, right? So from morning to night, the sunnah is a whole bunch of things that you do. And to a certain extent, that is true. To a certain extent, that is true. Our religion calls us to do certain things. And we have to acquire knowledge of those certain things. But these points of knowledge are meant to have a purpose. And the reason that we don't acquire knowledge ourselves as individuals, and that the knowledge that we strive to convey in our communities, one of the reasons it's not transformative is that the knowledge does not have a purpose and point. So it does not seem meaningful. And we can use an example. Our dear MCs around? No, our MCs are not around. So, okay, one of these younger folk, can you come over here? Yeah. Okay. Because everyone else is older, I can't use the example. The reason our knowledge is not transformative will be demonstrated by this dear brother. I'm going to ask him to do something. Can you please walk? Thank you. Okay, thanks. You can sit down. Right? This is exactly why we fail in our pursuit of knowledge. And actually, wider than that, why we fail as believers, right? Because as individuals, sometimes we get these ideas that I want to learn, right? So what do? We decide to take an action, right? I want to learn. So you get some idea. I'm going to start reading Quran, or I'm going to start reading hadiths, or I'm going to open books, Sahih Bukhari, I'm going to do this and that. And 13, 14 years ago, Brother Murad saw someone at U of T doing these kinds of foolish activities, right? He was on campus when I was fooling around. Now, we do these things, right? I told a brother to walk. But what happened? What happened when I told him to walk? He walked. But did I tell him to stop? No, I didn't tell him to stop, right? Why did he stop? What? Yeah, I didn't give. Okay, don't focus on me. Focus on him. Don't look at me, please. Why did he stop? Why did he stop? Okay, he didn't know where to go, right? He didn't know where to go. And this is the problem that we have as individuals when we seek to pursue knowledge. Or for that matter, when we decide to start practicing the deen, right? Well, immediately the concern comes, let me do this, let me do this, let me do this. And these are good impulses. You get the impulse to read Quran, this is tremendous. You get the impulse that I want to study, I want to read Islamic books, I want to do whatever. These are one amazing impulses. But what's the problem with the impulse? That there's no sense of direction in them. There's no sense of direction. There's no sense of purpose. So the impulse that I want to read, I want to study, is exactly the same impulse as the impulse to walk. But he's going to stop. If I took the brother, and I won't repeat the experiment, I told him, walk to the door. Right? We can assume that, hopefully, he'll walk there. Why? Because he has a sense of direction. He has a sense of direction. And this is the key thing that makes knowledge tremendous in our deen. Knowledge in itself, the fact that you have to wash X number of limbs in wudu, is only of consequence when you use that action as a means of drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? That's the only consequence of that. Otherwise, a disbeliever could perform the same action. Right? You could convince your friend that, look, this is the way I pray, why don't you pray with me? Right? But he doesn't believe. Is his action going to be of consequence? No, because he does not have that intention behind it. So this is something to consider, that the honor and tremendousness of knowledge is that knowledge is meant to be a transformative means for you to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we should not focus just on what we learn, but what's the end to which we are learning, both as individuals and then also as communities, as educational endeavors, when we have programs for young people or for older people. A lot of times young people complain, right, that they go to Sunday school, and Sunday school is some kind of religious torture, right? Why? Because they find no meaning in it. Why? It's just a whole bunch of points of information that are thrown at them that have no meaning in their lives. That have no meaning in their lives. And we ourselves, when we concern ourselves with learning, we turn to things that are points of information. But how do these affect our relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So this is a point that we have to consider, that we seek knowledge for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the knowledge that benefits. The knowledge that benefits in religious knowledge is the knowledge you need to get ahead in your relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to improve not only what you do, but how you go about doing it, so that what you do is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is something that we have to think about in the way we design educational programs, right? The way we teach our children. So we focus with our children, for example, on the Quran, that learn this, learn this, learn this, learn this, right? And what's the kid's response? The kid's probably thinking, oh no, oh no, oh no, right? Rather, if you look at what the early Muslims used to say about how we raise our children, we give them, of course, knowledge, but they used to say that raise your children on love of Allah and love of His Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and love of the family and companions of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and love of the righteous, right? Because if you have this love, then that knowledge that you have will have a sense of direction. You'll want to be like them in their relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is religious knowledge. And not all religious knowledge is of this type. Because if you start practicing, if you begin practicing, is it that important why the Khilafah fell, why the Abbasid Caliphate fell when it fell? Right? When your own religion is on the brink of falling? Right? It's not. It's points of information. Right? And there's virtue to it. But in your life, what's the meaning? What's the meaning of these points of knowledge? Or you start learning the deen, you don't know how to pray, you don't really know what makes you a believer, but you're thinking about what are the proofs for some obtuse point in Islamic law, right? So we have to focus on what kind of knowledge do we seek ourselves and we seek for our children. Similarly, worldly knowledge is not just something secondary, right? In Islam, that this worldly knowledge, every type of knowledge that is not impermissible, is a means of seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because every field of human endeavor that is not blameworthy in the Sharia, right? Every field of permissible human endeavor, it can be used in some way for the service of humanity, for the service of creation. And if one's intention in pursuing that knowledge is serving others, is benefiting others, then this is one of the greatest of doors of seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we, as students, for example, go and study, this is not something separate from your religious life. You're going to study, whatever it is you're studying, is a means to seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When you go to work, and I get questions every day, I'm involved in a question and answer service, and a lot of people say, you know, when I go to work, I feel that my heart is drying up. My heart is drying up. And this is a complete misunderstanding of the Islamic outlook to life, to knowledge, to religion. Why? Because everything that we do at work is in service of others in some way or the other. Right? It's in service of others in some way or the other. And if we go to work with a sense of purpose, with a sense of mission, that I am serving others, I am seeking to benefit humanity, I'm here to benefit all of God's creation, not just human beings, but all of God's creation. For the Prophet ﷺ was sent as a mercy, not just to the Muslims or humans, but to all creation. Right? You go with that attitude, that every single thing that you do at work will be meaningful. And not just the things that you do, but the way you act. Because if you just show up to work because you have to earn the money and provide, then what's your attitude going to be? But if you go there with a sense of purpose, that I am a believer, and I here at work, in what I'm doing, I'm seeking the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I want to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this work. As a teacher, as a professional, as whatever you're doing, the nature of your work itself will be transformed. You'll strive for excellence. And our principal here made this point that here at OGS, they're striving. It is a very beautiful word that he said. They're striving for excellence. And you can see it. Right? You can see it in the services that they're providing. And this is how we should live in everything that we do. Right? To strive for excellence for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then anything that you do becomes very, very meaningful. And this is, if you look at it, in Islamic history, they used to have guilds for the various professions. They used to have guilds. So the carpenters used to have a guild. And they used to have a code of conduct for carpenters. And part of the codes of conduct for the different professions would mention how you seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your profession. Right? How you seek the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your profession. And the heart of it is what? It's serving humanity. It's serving humanity. It's the sense of service, of benefiting others. Right? And this is something that we have to think about in terms of how we approach life and how we approach knowledge. So when we pursue religious knowledge or worldly knowledge, we approach it with this outlook, that how do I make this a means of drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once I was in Damascus and I was kind of fooling around, right? I was not sure what I was supposed to be doing. So I was just fooling around, and I won't give some any details as to what I was doing. It was religious fooling around, but fooling around. And then I went to someone's house, right? And I didn't want to go there, right? There's a whole bunch of like really religious people, and some ulama were getting together, and I thought, you know, they're just going to sit and eat, and what's that all about, right? And then someone just said, you know, there's these beautiful lines of poetry, and they said, أيها الطلبة في المدرسة كلما أخذتموه وسوسة ذكركم إن كان في غير الحديد ما لكم في نشأة أخرى نصيب. That, oh students, in school, all that you're pursuing could be mere misgivings. If your concern is in other than the beloved, if your concern is in other than Allah, then you have no share in the hereafter. But, and the person who recited these verses, one of the scholars of Damascus, he said, at the same time, if any knowledge that you pursue in school, or anything else that you do in life, it's done out of concern for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then all of it is for the akhirah, right? All of it is for the akhirah. And this is what makes, and this is the ethic of Islamic knowledge and teaching, that the concern in it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As a teacher, as a student, at every moment, our concern is what is in it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one aspect of excellence in education is what? Is upholding excellence of character. Because this was the most distinguishing trait of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we'll close with this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he's praised by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he was praised most emphatically for one quality. And when you praise someone, you mention their most distinguishing trait, right? So if I wanted to praise the principal, I wouldn't say, "Mashallah, he's wonderful. He's a man." I wouldn't say, "Mashallah, he's wonderful. He has two legs." I'd mention something about him that is a distinguishing trait, right? You wouldn't even mention something irrelevant. He's wonderful, he wears glasses, right? You'd mention something that distinguishes him. And what is it that distinguished the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? He was praised, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَىٰ خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ, that verily you are of tremendous character. Now the scholars of tafsir asked a question, that what was it that made the character of the Prophet ﷺ tremendous? What was it that made the character of the Prophet ﷺ tremendous? And as teachers, you have a part of this prophetic function of education and training, of tarbiyah and ta'aleem, and raising people from one level to another. What made the character of the Prophet ﷺ tremendous? And a number of the scholars of tafsir mentioned that كَانَ خُلُقُهُ عَظِيمًا لِأَنَّهُ لَمْ يَكُنْ لَهُ هَمٌّ سِوَى رَبِّهِ, that his character ﷺ was tremendous because he had no concern except his Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when things happened, right? If someone does something annoying, someone's acting up, being rude, or just impossible to deal with, on what basis do we act? And what basis do we respond? The prophetic response was what? The prophetic response would be to ask a simple question. And that summarizes the Islamic ethic towards knowledge and life. True knowledge is being able to answer the question, what is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How can I act and respond in the way that is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And this is what defines Islamic outlook, not just on knowledge and education, but to life itself. That at every moment, in whatever we're engaged in, to ask ourselves this critical question, how do I act or respond in the manner most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? This is what made the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tremendous. His whole life is a witness to this. Because just look at what people did to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and look how he responded, right? Look at, after 20 years of opposition and oppression and being wronged, he entered Mecca victorious. But how did he enter? He entered bowed on his camel in worship. When he entered, the habit, not just of the Arabs, but all people, was if you enter victorious, they say that now is the time for blood to flow. But he forgave them all and said that I say to you, as today, as Yusuf said to his brethren, that there's no blame upon you today. We are but brethren. May Allah forgive us and you. What made him able to do that? His concern was not himself. His concern was what is most pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the essence of the Islamic ethic towards knowledge and understanding and life. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us of those who gain that understanding and who are able to pursue the ways of excellence in the best of ways. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين فاستغفروه إنه غفور رحيم وجزاك الله تعالى خيرا.